My name's Allie. It's really great to be with you today. It's really nice that I get to be here doing this. This is certainly not my normal gig, so thanks for having me. I am a wife. I'm a mom of two little boys. I live in Anderson Township, and I guess according to that chart, now I do not know the vast majority of you. Despite the fact that I've been around for probably about 9 years now, 8 or 9 years now, 11,000 people, my goodness. So I thought I'd better tell you at least a couple of things just about my basic life. I have encountered the idea of authority, which is the stop on our road trip today, in certainly all the realms of my life that I just mentioned. And yesterday I encountered a new one when I arrived here, and they put this mic, see this skinny little mic on me right here? They put this mic on me, and I learned my lesson once before, that the authority of the sound booth is absolute. When it comes to women, you know, occasionally I like to put on big earrings when I get out of my, you know, my t-shirts, my jean shorts. Kind of like big earrings occasionally. But the authority of the sound booth versus the authority of fashion, the sound booth wins every time. It clangs against the microphone, so they say, the smaller, the better. So I submit to their authority, but they can't prevent me from wearing large bracelets, so I'm compensating. Anyway, we are talking about authority today, and we're in the middle of a series where we're looking at the book of Acts, and the series title helps us out with today's topic, because the series title is called Roadmap to a Revolution. We're looking at how the kingdom of God began as a revolution and still is a revolution, and the concept of authority is actually baked right into that title. Because a revolution is actually a struggle to replace one kind of authority with a new kind of authority. A revolution is not a rebellion. And I know some of you are big James Dean's fan. Maybe you have a rebel yell you practice in the mirror every morning or something. But a revolution is not a rebellion. A rebellion is doing away with all authority. And the kingdom of God has authority in it and interacts with authority around it. And this idea is very important to God, and it's extremely important in the advancement of the revolution. Usually, authority is at the heart of the revolt. It certainly was in the kingdom of God and is still today. And we're going to look at that in the book of Acts as we talk about this topic. Our response to authority is probably the most important thing we could do to advance the revolution. There are two sources of authority, that is God himself and authorities that we find in our world around us. And our response to these two kinds of authority within the kingdom of God, if we want to be a part of the revolution, it is the thing that either moves it forward or doesn't. The first source is God himself. This makes sense, right? We're in the kingdom of God, or at least some of us want to be, and we're kind of talking about the big guy. He must hold all the authority. That is, in fact, how it works. But the biggest message I read in the book of Acts, I did this when I was sort of preparing for this weekend. I read the book of Acts, start to finish again, and I just kind of cleared my mind of anything that I had known about the early church before, and I said, if I were going to think about what do I see about the topic of authority in the book of Acts, the biggest story I see being told throughout the early church is that there's a God who holds all authority, but he wants to share it with his followers. Anyone who's claiming to be a follower of his son, he wants to share his authority. And our response to that should be to receive it and to use it. And that's how the kingdom of God and the revolution of God advances in our world. That's the story that was happening in the early church. When we receive God's authority and we choose to use it, then the revolution moves forward. So what is this idea of God's authority? It's still sort of nebulous. How does he hand that out? What does that look like? And it's not terribly hard to understand. God's authority equals the power of the Holy Spirit. Anyone reading the book of Acts, it's undeniable that the presence of the Holy Spirit is new. That's the new thing. And in fact, the Holy Spirit is what represented the new authority in the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God was experiencing a revolution of authority within itself. There's just something in me that likes to look up little facts and things like this, and I love this one that I want to share with you. 131 times in Scripture, the Greek word for authority is used. But 69 of those times, it's translated into the word power. the context of those times, it demands that we use the word power. And so God's authority being handed out equals the power available to his followers through the Holy Spirit. That's the new thing, and that was the new authority in the kingdom of God at the time. It empowered the followers of Jesus to spread the message of the revolution. The old authority was ever present. As we look at the stories that are told about the early church through the book of Acts, we constantly see a rub with the old authority. There's a Jewish council, there are high priests of the Jewish faith, and we see these folks interacting with the early followers of Jesus, and they're representative of the old authority in the kingdom of God. The Old Testament scriptures, or the law, as it was commonly called. And these guys were the old authority, and they represented the old authority in the kingdom, and they just couldn't wrap their heads around the authority that had come, the new authority of the Holy Spirit. Brian told us a story last week as we looked at Stephen. Hopefully a lot of you guys were here last week. And Stephen had a quote when he shared it last week. I already had authority on the brain. And I realized, oh my gosh, he's talking directly to this. Stephen says to the Jewish council, "You always resist the Holy Spirit." That was the quote Brian shared last week. "You always resist the Holy Spirit." He's saying to these guys, you old authority, you're resisting the new authority. You can't see it. We're going to take a look right now at another interaction that happens in the book of Acts. And the context of this particular one is two early followers of Jesus, Peter and John, they had just healed a man, a crippled man at the temple. So they did it in a very public setting. And everybody knew that for 40 years, this guy had never walked. He begged in the same place every day. And they came to the temple one day and they healed him. And the Jewish leaders and some of the people of the Jewish faith were in a big uproar about this, so they throw them in jail overnight, and we're going to look at what happens the next day. In Acts 4, it says this, "The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. 'By what power or what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved.'" Peter's response actually tells us again the authority by which he had done this healing and the authority by which he was speaking. He says, "I do this in the name of Jesus." For me, that kind of conjures up, I don't know, some bad religious preacher baggage. It's just, you know, something in the name of Jesus. But all he was saying is the authority that I'm doing this is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of Jesus lives in me, and that's how I did this. I did this in the name, in the authority of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. He's saying this is the new authority, and I possess it. He also tells us why God shares his authority. He says, very simply, I did an act of kindness. It's not a complicated thing. All I did was love someone, and you're calling me here to account for a simple act of kindness. God shares his authority with us so that we can love other people on his behalf. That is the revolution of the kingdom of God. And the way that he chooses to do that is to share his authority with us. Let's look at what happens when the Jewish leaders react to this. "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say." They would have loved to catch these guys in violation of one of the scriptures, one of the Old Testament laws, but they didn't. They couldn't because the new authority wasn't rebelling against the old. It was fulfilling it through simple love. Paul, one of the other followers of Jesus, wrote to us in the book of Romans in chapter 13 that love is the fulfillment of the law. And these guys weren't rebelling against any particular rule or checklist. They were loving other people in the name of Jesus. There's there's a reason why I kind of like this particular part of the story. And I kept coming back to this over and over again when I was preparing for this weekend. I kept coming back to this idea that these guys were unschooled. They were ordinary guys. And they noted, they were writing this down and actually noted that part of the response was that these guys had been with Jesus. That these were just normal, everyday guys who had interacted with Jesus. That was the explanation for their behavior. And there's good news in here for me because I guess I kept reading this over and over thinking, this is me, this is how I think of myself. I think that I'm a pretty ordinary person. I'm definitely unschooled when it comes to, you know, theology. I've never been to seminary. I don't have any official training. I wasn't even a communications major in college. And yet I'm standing up here talking to you guys, and there really isn't any reasonable explanation for this. And I just kept coming back and back to the fact that this is me. This is the explanation for this in my life, that I'm unschooled, I'm pretty ordinary, and yet I know, in as much as I've had the opportunity, I know and I love Jesus. And that's the deal. That's the story. And that's good news for you too, because this is the way authority in the kingdom of God works. See, God hands out his power and his authority through the Holy Spirit. He doesn't do it through the right set of learnings. He doesn't do it through a particular denomination, a particular team. He doesn't do it by knowing a particular person, having a job or a title. None of those things have anything to do with authority in the kingdom of God. God himself is the holder of it, and he hands it out through the presence of his Holy Spirit, period. That's where it comes from. And any of us, the good news for me in here was any of us have access to that in as much as we know Jesus. But I'm reminded of the times when I've said no, because our response being yes, Peter's response here was clearly yes. Yes to the healing, yes to the speaking, clearly yes to the authority and the power that God was handing him. And I think about the times when I've said no to God. And I had one of those times recently. I was picking up my son at preschool a few months ago, and there's a mom that I really like who I've just kind of gotten to know through chit-chat. We have to wait in the hallway for the kids to be released one by one. And so, you know, the moms stand out there and we talk, and a couple of them are grandmas, love them too. So we all stand out and talk, and there's one mom I really liked, and I could tell as soon as I walked in that she was hurting. Something was wrong with her today. She was kind of closing her eyes, wasn't talking much, and she just looked pained, and I asked her, of course, what was wrong, and she told me she had a migraine. And I knew how my college roommate used to deal with her migraines. She had these room darkening shades, and she would just pull those down. She would skip all her classes and just crawl under her covers for the day because she was just near incapacitated by her migraines. And but I had immediate kind of sympathy for Shannon because her husband works out of town, so I knew she didn't have that option. And in that moment, I felt like maybe I should pray for her. And then immediately I was like, oh, I'm going to be that woman who's praying for people in the hallway in the preschool. This is just not who I want to be. I've never talked to her about God. I don't know what she even believes. Am I really going to be that person who's like, come here, let me pray for you? But I couldn't shake the feeling that God wanted me to pray for her. But quickly, I ticked off the reasons why this wasn't going to happen. You know, they're gonna release my son in 2 minutes. We don't have time. You know, I'm gonna be a weirdo. She's never gonna talk to me again. All the wrong reasons, but they were good enough for me to say no and, you know, move on with my day. And I said a prayer for her in the car, but I don't think that's what God had in mind. And essentially in that moment I was saying no. I said my response to God and to his invitation to use his authority was no. No thanks. And as I think back on that moment, I just think that stopped the revolution. I don't know what he had in mind for her. Maybe he would have healed her had I prayed for her. Maybe that migraine would have been gone. Maybe he just wanted to know that he knew her struggle that day, that he was caring for her, that he was seeing her pain. I have no idea, but I do know that nothing happened in the revolution because I said no. And that's why I say that I think our response to authority is the most important idea in advancing the revolution. Now, I would venture a guess that probably the things that I've said so far are a bit different than you might have expected when I said we were going to talk about authority. Usually, I'm assuming that you would expect someone to say, you know, suck it up, do what you're told, be nice. And I haven't said that yet, have I? But I'm going to. Now. The second source of authority that the kingdom of God interacts with is just basic authority structures that we find in our world every day. And these are exactly what you think they are. This is your, you know, your work structure, your boss, and your boss's boss. These are librarians and restaurant managers and the government and their tax code and anything else that you can think of that is exactly what you think when you think of authority. God has quite a lot to say about this kind of authority and also how this advances the revolution. Many times in the New Testament, there are letters written to followers of Christ, and we're told, five or six different times, that our response is to submit. When we encounter an authority in our world, our response is to submit. And I started thinking about, I know this is unpopular. We kind of live in a culture where this is very unusual. We're much more apt to like claim what's rightfully ours and stand up to people who are doing us wrong or who are doing us right just to stand up to them and be our own person. But that isn't what God has in mind. And I believe the reason this is because when we submit to authorities that we find in our lives every day, the kingdom of God advances in our own hearts. In Luke 17, Jesus talks about this idea of the kingdom of God being within us. As I have looked at my own learnings with authority over the last few years, I can clearly see ways that it has grown the kingdom of God in my heart. And I think this is the primary reason that God calls us to submit to authority in our lives every day, because if the kingdom isn't within us, then it can't come out of us. And this is the key way, I believe, that God grows the kingdom in our own heart. I did have the opportunity, though, recently to realize that I have not really always thought this way. As a matter of fact, I've behaved probably in many situations completely the opposite. This past Thanksgiving, my husband and I threw a little birthday party for our two little boys. They were turning 1 and 3, and both of them have birthdays, within a week or two of Thanksgiving. So we were home in Columbus, and a lot of both sides of our family, many of them live there, and we decided to throw a family birthday party for them at a place called Mimi's Cafe. And we used to live in Mason here, and we love some Mimi's. The big muffins that come with every meal, you can't beat that. Anyway, so we did. We staked out the Mimi's in Columbus, and I called and reserved the private room. And we showed up with a cake and, you know, little cars for a car race. It's a little boy birthday party. Some balloons and all that. And my mom was meeting me there about an hour before everyone else, and she's going to just help me set things up and get stuff ready. And she comes running out to the curb when I pull up into the parking lot, and she says, "You're never going to believe this. There's no private room." And I said, "What? I talked to someone. I reserved the private room. They took my name down. That's what a reservation is. They put me in their private room." "Nope, sorry. I just talked to someone. No private room." And she said, "But I told them when my daughter got here, she was going to deal with them." I am? I wonder what I'm going to do. And luckily, apparently, in that comment from my mom, she had witnessed past behavior, which was not exactly submitting to someone else's authority. And she was just reflecting that back to me in that statement. I had a few minutes to consider the situation before I talked to the manager, and he came out to meet me. And in those few minutes between, I realized something in my heart, that this was a chance, this was an opportunity for me to practice submitting to someone else's authority and ultimately to God. That instead of doing what I think my mom thought I was going to do, which was, you know, bust some heads, let's get it done, let's make this happen, we need to fix this up. and demanding things, I realized that I had an opportunity for the kingdom to grow. And I'm not sure I thought about it exactly in those terms at the time, but I did know that God was sort of, you know, doing one of these. Hey, psst, hey. And so when I spoke to the manager, he came out and I explained what was going on and I told him what we had planned and what I wished for. And then I looked him in the eye and I said to him, I'll do whatever you say. I know you're running a restaurant here and there's, you know, 150 other people eating in this restaurant and I'll do whatever you say. And I like what one of the cadet talked about on the video, because he actually mentioned the exact same two things that I knew in that situation and in others were really taking root in my heart. One of those is humility and the other is freedom. And he talked about both of those concepts in his own words. Certainly humility. I mean, that goes without saying. The idea that my rights and my birthday party were not the most important thing going on in this man's world, that's humility. I mean, I had to voluntarily put myself second. I had to voluntarily put, frankly, all of us second. And it helps me to realize that when I give up my rights to something, that the kingdom is growing in my heart. The revolution is taking ground, whether that actually happens on the outside or not. The cadet also talked about being able to count on people around him and above him. And I kind of realized the same thing, because when my mom came out to me and she said, you know, my daughter's going to deal with you, that's what I told them. I felt this burden come over me. Like, you're right, what am I going to do? I need to figure this out. I need to, you know, make a plan. What am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? You know, all this stuff. And I just had this burden sitting on me. But as soon as I handed it to the person responsible, I just felt free. I felt free that even if it didn't work out exactly the way I had intended it to all work out, that I was able to be free in it. These are the values of the revolution, and I think this is why God calls us to submit to authorities in our world, because this is the kind of stuff that he cares about. I think he cares about my son's birthday party, you know, in as much as it brings joy, and, you know, it's a great celebration of life, but I think most importantly is whether the revolution is taking ground in my own heart. Anything worthwhile that we still talk about as a part of the church, as a part of being a follower of Jesus, we can actually trace back, or should actually be able to trace back, to the life of Jesus himself. And these two responses to authority that I believe are inherently a part of the revolution of God are actually connected. They're connected in the life of Jesus, and they're still connected today. When we choose to submit ourselves to authority and the revolution kind of takes ground in our own heart, then God knows, like that captain knew on the video, this is someone that can handle stuff. And I can now pour out my authority on them. We can actually see this same pattern in the life of Jesus. Let's look at Philippians 2. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took the humble position of a slave. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. What's happening here is Jesus is submitting to the only authority he can submit to, his Father. And he does that down to the point of death. And God's response, his Father's response, is to pour all authority in the kingdom of God on top of him. As we respond to authorities in our own life, I believe this is the exact same pattern. As we respond to authorities in our own life with submission, our heart grows deeper into the revolution, and God will pour his authority out over you. This doesn't come naturally, and one of the ways that I regularly interact with God on this is to pray, so I'm going to pray for us that he would do that for me and for all of you. Father, I know that when you're super clear about something, you're serious, and you want us to know your will about it, and I just thank you that you've been so clear with us about how we're to interact with authority. that your desire for us is to see our hearts grow in humility and to use the big, bold authority that you want to pour out on us in the revolution. I pray that you would do that more in my heart and in anyone's heart here who says yes to you in these ways. I ask these things in the name of your Son. Amen. Brian's coming up.
That was fantastic. That was really, honestly, that was fantastic. I'm just having the opportunity to respond to some of the things that I'm hearing. We're doing this every service, and new response right now for you. It's been really fun for me to experience this, because normally when someone is speaking, I'm not here, and so then I look at the video, and I might re-loop with them and sort of give them comments or feedback. Whereas you're sort of like in the master's program of me just hammering with you stuff after every single service. And I just gave you a waterfall of things to consider this last service. And you incorporated every single one of them. Every last thing you incorporated, you even got done earlier. You know? And I thought about, as I was sitting there, how you incorporate all that. I also thought about how oftentimes it's very hard to give somebody feedback. And it was very easy for you. I'm just wondering, as you received this feedback, were there sort of authority teachings that you were thinking of in receiving this feedback?
Not consciously there wasn't, but I mean, I have known you for a while. I certainly receive your authority in my life. And so when I hear you tell me something, I think I naturally take it on as, you know, Brian is, you know, you're an expert at this. This is what you do. This is what God made you for. And so when I see, you know, somebody that God's put in my life that can give me feedback in that way, I'm going to take that to heart. I'm going to get right underneath that, because I just believe that God has given you a gift, and if you're going to share that with me, I'm going to hop right underneath it.
Well, that's exactly why you were qualified for this, because you have that sort of attitude. That's great. Also, something you just said there, you said you've known me for a long time. But let's not mistake something. In your life, even if you don't know somebody and they're an authority, you want to submit to them. Because you just talked about that story. Yeah. Because I meet people all the time who think that unless I have a personal relationship with a person, then I shouldn't be submitting to them. Yeah. It's sort of like my God-given right to be pessimistic. You know? Really, it's crazy. It's ridiculous. Yet you, with this Mimi situation, mm-hmm. you didn't know this guy, yet you submitted to him, and you didn't tell us the end of the story. What happens? What happens when you go in there and you say to him, I'll do whatever you want?
Well, I think I really startled him. I mean, I don't think he saw that coming. I'm sure he expected me to do what my mom expected me to do, which was yell at him, you know, and demand some things. But he was very taken aback by it. And I think he felt kind of shoved into his own responsibility in the situation. And I think he softened. You know, I think certainly when you're going to interact with a customer who's, I don't know, there's been a mistake made. There have been things that haven't gone right.
Interact with a customer who is bitchy?
Yeah, maybe.
So, yeah, like that.
Or at least who he expected to be. And, you know, he came out and I sort of felt defensiveness from him. And then as soon as I said that, I just felt like he really softened.
I'm very confident that that's probably the only time that day or maybe ever somebody came to him and said, you know, whatever you want, that's fine. That's fine. And it makes me think of what happens when we submit. People feel love that they wouldn't any other way. When you buck up against somebody, they never feel love. Never. And that's ultimately what changes people. I've seen this in my own life where I want to do that more often, of just offering submission to people. And they're always caught off guard, like when I've gotten caught for a driving citation, speeding a number of years ago. I went into the... I'm spitting on you a lot. I can see the
light. These people are used to
coming,
it, too.
Coming to you. Yeah. About how the light is here. I remember going into a judge years ago and saying, you know, I was speeding, I was wrong, but I also know that I can come to you and ask for mercy, and I'm just asking for mercy. And the look on his face was like,
sure.
Exactly. Because normally people have the reasons why they weren't speeding, the reasons why you should let me off, and I just kind of said, I'll submit to whatever you want. I just want to, but I know that you can make these points go away, and I'd ask you to do that if you wouldn't mind. And And he did take the points away, but not the fine away. I still had to write that check. When I've taken my kids to, when I've gone in for a parent-teacher conference for our kids at school, or if one of our kids gets in trouble and I've got to go into the vice principal's office, I always started off right away saying, I just want you to know, I'm here to support you. This is your area, and you will never have to worry about me going the other opposite direction. When my kids, when I put them into school, I'm putting them under their authority. In fact, I'm putting my whole family under their authority. And my job is not to grade the decisions, the leadership decisions they're making. In fact, even if they're making a wrong decision, it's actually to my kids' benefit for me to them to see me submitting to somebody else's authority. Anything you want to say before I share one more verse?
I was just going to say that you should definitely put up the Hebrews verse because that's exactly what you just said.
All right, well, I'll do that. Hebrews 13, Hebrews 13, 17 speaks to this. It's the New Testament portion of the Bible. It says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that will be of no benefit to you. The people who are you're under their authority, are you a joy to their life or are you a burden to their life? Always second-guessing what somebody says, second-guessing the decisions they're making that you don't have all the information to. This is an incredible verse. Now, certainly there's the issue of what happens if you're serving under Hitler. If you're serving under Hitler, kill that person. That's fine, you know. If you're in World War II and there's somebody who's killing 6 million Jews, that's a different deal. But let's be very honest. Those are very, very, very rare. And actually, maybe that's even the wrong thing to do. I don't know. I don't know what to do in a situation if there's a literal Hitler there and you're under their authority. But the fact of the matter is, none of us are ever going to have to cope with that in all likelihood, thankfully. That verse tells me that I need to always err on the side of submitting. If there's even something I disagree with, I can come and say, you know, I'm for you, I agree, I submit totally, but I just have a couple questions, you know, I have for you. But what happens is when we submit to somebody, we get their best. And when we get a leader's best, the best thing happens for us. That's what that verse says. If you want the best thing for you, even in a manipulative way, then honor your authorities. And all of us who are managers, leaders, or parents all know this, that when somebody is under authority and they're just a pain in the rumpus, we're upset, we're emotionally off kilter, and we can't lead the way that we're designed to lead. And so this is part of how the kingdom operates. Great stuff.
I was just thinking one of the things that we do with our three-year-old is that I have a tendency, my husband's given me a hard time about this for years, I ask why all the time. Why are we doing that? Why do you want to do that? Why? Why is this person doing that? And that I have learned that that can be seen as a refusal to submit, even though that's regularly not my heart in asking why. When you do that to a leader, that, you know, when you're always questioning the reasoning, it feels like you're not submitting. And so as we've dealt with this in my son, he's hit that, why, mommy? Why? Why do I have to do that? Why? And I'm like, ah!
That's why. Shut your yapper and go to your room.
But we, I don't do that. Yeah. But we.
Well, you send that kid over to my house. He'll be you'll have a good kid finally. Just bring him to my house for a couple of weeks.
Our rule is you obey and then you may ask why. I'll be happy to explain why until the cows come home. You need to obey. Your job is to obey and then mommy will explain why. And I just think about that with, you know, I put myself in those shoes with God or with my another leader in my life. And what if I obeyed? And then if I was still interested, then I could ask why. Mm.
You know, if you have a hard time with, that's great. If you have a hard time with what Ali's saying here, what's talked about here, you have a hard time honoring human authority. I tell you, it's because you have a hard time honoring God's authority. If you view obey as a four-letter word negatively, it's because you don't obey a God. And there's a power and a blessing that comes from that that you've never experienced because you've never just simply obeyed, just because God says so. We're going to sing a song right now that can be a heart response to yours. It can be a prayer. It says phrases like, High King of Heaven. Also, it says, Lord of my heart, meaning the authority in my life, the authority of how I think and how I process things. And I can't think of a better way to end our time right now. Why don't we stand right now? And if this is where your heart is, let's just make this a declaration to God, ourselves, and anybody who can hear us right now.